Devotion's getting down to preaching. I love it. We appreciate all the devotionals. Again, we'd like to turn to Romans 1. There's been a week between, as we weren't here last week, but last time we finished on looking at what this wrath of God is, wrath of abandonment of a society or a nation, could be an individual as well. As you read through the chapter, you see a progression, and there are identifying words to point that out. In verse 19, because, verse 21, because, verse 26, for this cause, verse 24, wherefore. So there's cause and effect throughout Romans chapter 1 as the result or as the consequence of sin and this wrath of God. So we're going to look at the reason for this abandoning wrath of God. In verse 18, Paul stated a practice of sinful man. He describes their character as ungodliness and unrighteousness. But then he speaks of something they do, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we've already seen that the word hold there means to suppress. They attack the truth. They suppress. They attempt to suppress the truth. And then we come to verse 19, because. So now he's going to give us the reason. The reason that men suppress the truth, the reason they hate the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The them is referring to, again, those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His, God, eternal power and Godhead, so that they, those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, all the unsaved, so that they are without excuse. There is a intuitive knowledge of God that man possesses. I believe the Bible teaches it. It's not a saving knowledge, of course. But there is an intuitive knowledge that man has of God. And we see here in verse 19, that which may be known of God, that which may be known of God is manifest or is evidenced in them. Inside of them, there is an intuitive knowledge of God. Again, we must be clear. This knowledge does not save them. This knowledge, as we see, does not make them right, but they are born with an intuitive knowledge of God. That is, man would put it, a higher being. Man has that instinct within them. So, first of all, that which may be known of God. Verse 19. So there are things that can be known of God. We all know that. The Scriptures teach us. The Scriptures do not teach us everything about God. That's not possible. God's infinite. There's no way that a book can teach us everything about God. But the Bible does teach us everything that you and I need to know about God. We must realize that there are things about God that we don't know. None of them contradict what is made manifest in His Word. But we have to come to a point in our life where we just, when it comes to God, I don't know. But we know it lines up with everything written in His Word. But there are things that can be known of God. And those things, some of those things have been communicated to man. I'm not talking about saved man here, but just man in general. Notice in John 1, verse 9. And I've heard preachers try to explain John 1, 9 away. You can't explain it away. Again, there is an intuitive knowledge of man of God. In John 1, verse 9, that was the true light. That is Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Man is totally depraved. This does not lessen his depravity. But everyone enters this life with not a spark of goodness, which is what the Arminian teaches, and they'll use this verse to teach that. But every man comes into this life with an intuitive knowledge of God. They know there's something in them that tells them there's someone higher than them. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Well, let's read verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. So they obey the law to some point, to some degree. That's true of everyone. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which manifest the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts. The meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. The law written in their hearts, but the key here is their conscience also bearing witness. The conscience of man. We could go into great length on the conscience of man. Why does man, when he does wrong, not all the time, but when he does wrong, try to hide it? Because he has a conscience. He has a conscience. That is that light, that there is, they don't know who it is, but they have this sense that there's someone higher than them. There is God. They may not put it in those words. So there is a general knowledge of God in the conscience of man. Paul goes on to say in Romans 1, verse 19, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God, or because God hath showed it unto them. Not savingly, but God hath showed himself unto man. So God has made man to have a general knowledge of God. It's an external knowledge of God. Again, it's not a saving knowledge. We have to keep stressing that. It is a general knowledge. It's mostly in the conscience of man. From Romans 1, we see this general knowledge. Notice verse 21, Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they knew God. They don't know everything about Him. They don't know much about Him. But they know there's a God. When they knew God. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So they have this intuitive knowledge of God, and man does not like that knowledge because it's that knowledge that causes him to feel guilt. It's a knowledge that to some degree binds. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So notice what they do with this knowledge that they have. Again, this is a general knowledge. Common sense tells you, you look up at the night sky and see the stars and the moon, someone put them there. That's a general knowledge. The evolutionist and the like, what do? They explain it away. Why do they do that? They do not like to retain that knowledge in themselves. This is what Romans 1 is teaching us. They have this intuitive knowledge, but they don't want it. So they start to explain away. So notice what they do with this knowledge. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They knew God. They may refer to Him as the man upstairs. They glorified Him not as God. Oh, they know someone's up there. But the man upstairs, they glorified Him not as God. Why is it that man, when he curses, uses God's name? I mean, how does he even know to use God's name? Because again, there's this intuitive knowledge. There's this intuitive knowledge. And when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And I believe that a lot of the religious world has not a spiritual knowledge of God, but an intuitive knowledge of God that they have built upon. They have built upon in their own theology. And that is why the majority of the religious world, they simply build upon this intuitive knowledge, but they glorify Him not as God. In most pulpits today, God is not glorified as God. God is demeaned. Because you have people that have this intuitive knowledge and they have built upon it. They have others, they have this intuitive knowledge of God, and they don't like to retain that knowledge, so they just explain it away with evolution or whatever, humanism. But there are some folks that are more religious, and they build upon this intuitive knowledge, but the result is all the same. They glorified Him not as God. Verse 28, they did not like to retain. Keep. To retain is to keep. They did not like. We know what that means. You don't have to explain that. I do not like such and such. Here, they did not like. They found it unpleasant. this intuitive knowledge. This is why so many people are angry. They have this intuitive knowledge that there is a God. They don't like that. And therefore they attack and they suppress righteousness. They hold the truth. In unrighteousness, they suppress truth in their own unrighteousness. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So there's this intuitive knowledge of God. Where does it come from? Well, other than the obvious, of course, it comes from God. But it's not a Holy Spirit imparted knowledge that you and I have in salvation. In verse 20 of Romans 1, for the invisible things of Him, which is explained later in the verse, the invisible things speak of His eternal power and His Godhead. His eternal power and Godhead, that's the invisible things. From the creation of the world, keep in mind what he's talking about here. He's talking about the invisible things, the power, and the Godhead. From the creation of the world are clearly seen. These invisible things, though they are invisible, they can be seen by creation. God declares Himself in creation. Why is it that man, he looks at, say, the Grand Canyon, and he'll say, look at what Mother Nature has produced. Why does he say that? Because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. That creation reveals, that creation declares, there is a God. There is a Creator. I can look at that piano, and common sense tells me somebody made that piano. You can look at the pew. Somebody made that pew. You can look at this pulpit. Somebody made this pulpit. Am I foolish enough to believe that this pulpit was, or my watch, was once a checker? And then through the millions of years, it advanced and now it's a watch? I mean, how do people come up with such foolishness? They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They're doing everything in their power to get rid of that intuitive knowledge of God. But creation itself declares, I am God. So the invisible things of God, the power of His Godhead, can, though they're invisible, they can be seen. And they're seen through creation. Notice, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So man has an intuitive knowledge of God. But many take that intuitive knowledge and build heresy upon it. Others take that intuitive knowledge and in all their power try to get rid of it. So God's power, God's person are manifested in creation. They are manifested by providence. The things that happen, the power of God is manifest. It would be amusing, if it wasn't so sad, to watch people who do not like to retain this intuitive knowledge try to explain providential actions. They become fools. But notice in Psalm 19, again, for the invisible things of Him, that is, His eternal power and Godhead, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And then we come to Psalm 19. We'll just read first six verses. The heavens declare, that is, they proclaim, they announce, they reveal the glory of God. The beauty and the magnificence of God. But man, not liking to retain that message, replaces it with evolution. And the firmament showeth, which is the same as declare, his handiwork. Day unto day, God declares this. The sun rises, the sun sets. That is a declaration that there is a God. The seasons come and go. That's a declaration that there is a God. Day unto day declares there is God. Day unto day uttereth speech, speaks, shows, and night unto night showeth or revealeth this knowledge that there is a God. There is no speech nor language that their voice is not heard. That is the voice of creation. It's everywhere. Those who have never, ever heard the gospel are without excuse because of the creation that's all around them, because of the works of God that is all around them. There is no speech. They're without excuse. Again, I recently heard someone said to me, well, if they've never heard the gospel, then they go to heaven. That is so foreign to the Word of God. And it's absolute stupidity. Why would anyone tell anyone about the Lord if that were so? That would be the most cruel thing you could do. Would be to tell somebody, because as long as they don't know, they're okay. I mean, that's utter foolishness. And this was said by someone who ought to know better. I was just aghast. I couldn't hardly believe what I was hearing. Their line has gone out through all the earth, talking about creation and the words to the end of the world, and them that hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, talking about the sun rising, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Creation declares the glory of God. In Psalm 97, in verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory in the heavens. It's all around us. The providential acts of God are all around us. This general revelation renders man without excuse. Romans 1 verse 20 says, so. That's a very important word. Since creation reveals God, and since all can see or hear creation, experience creation, so that they, man in general, are without excuse. They can say, no one told me. That won't fly. They are without excuse. Just being the creation of God, experiencing the creation of God, experiencing the providence of God. I mean, things happen in people's life and people will say, wow, what a coincidence. Why do they say that? Because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Why don't they say, wow, God has done a wonderful thing there. You see how God brought... Now, you and I say that. We see that. But man with his intuitive knowledge, what knowledge he has, he wants to get rid of. So he'll say, wow, what a coincidence. I sure am lucky. Sure am fortunate. I hate those words, lucky. And a lot of God's people have replaced lucky with fortunate. Explain to me the difference. Explain to me the difference. There is no difference.
Amen.
It's blessed.
Amen.
It's blessed. Romans 2, verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1. And we'll close. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. The point is, therefore, thou art inexcusable. And the therefore is a continuance of what we read in Romans chapter 1. As you read Romans 1, and as you come to this knowledge that creation reveals God, man is without excuse. You can say, well, they don't know any better. But they should. But they should. Because creation itself reveals that there is a God. What man does with his intuitive knowledge is a display of man's depravity. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. That is a display of the depravity of man. So general revelation, revelation from creation, providence of God, a providence God, a child is born. That is a declaration. That is a proclamation, I am God. Every time someone dies, that's a message, God. Everywhere around us is the message of God. But all these things render man without excuse. What that means, it renders him without justification before God. And again, we must stress intuitive knowledge does not save. That's why God sent Christ into the world so that man can be justified. Intuitive knowledge does not justify anyone. Really, intuitive knowledge manifests the depravity of man, because what he does with that knowledge, or what he doesn't do with that knowledge, it simply is another manifestation of the depravity of man.
Right.
Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, that you do reveal yourself in a special way to your children. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you everything that you've shown us about yourself and will continue to show us about yourself, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your word reveals who you are. And we just pray that you'd be with us this day. Help us, Lord, to worship you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.